So good morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you so much for letting us sing praises to you. Father, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and that's what we're going to do as well. And Father, we want our hearts right. We want to get our heads in the right place and our hearts in the right place to be able to give glory to you, to give praise to you. Father, help us right now to focus our minds and to understand more about why we sing what we sing. Father, help us never to just sing mouthing words or just clapping along with a melody, but to always put our minds and our hearts and our thoughts into what we are singing as we sing to you and sing to one another. Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Please help us this morning to open our hearts to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I feel like I'm echoing. Is that too loud or is that working? Good morning. Continuing the class. We're talking about the scriptures and the songs we sing, trying to dive into the scriptures, trying to dive into the meanings and what the background is and why we sing the songs we sing. As many of you know, a lot of what I do is, I'm not sure quite why I lead singing because I don't have a voice for that, but I do a lot of leading of singing, I do a lot of singing, a little bit of trumpet playing, but I like making music to God. It's fun to do, okay? It does not require a lot of talent to make music for God. It doesn't hurt to have talent, and we have a lot of talented singers, okay? But it doesn't require that. So those of you who think, gee, you know, I'm not a singer, well, that's okay. I'm not much of one either. But we all like to sing praise to God, and that's our topic today, the hallelujah singing. So what is hallelujah? I'm going to leave this slide up long enough for you to each copy down in your notes very carefully all of those Hebrew characters, okay? I know you're doing it. Or else I guess the slides eventually get posted on the website and you can do that. But in any case, had to figure out, okay, if I'm going to teach about the hallelujah singing, we should know what we're talking about. And it's a very complex, deep meaning. It means praise to God. I can do that. You know, that works. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what we're saying when we sing hallelujah. And you'll note we'll sing a lot of hallelujah songs in our service today for the primary reason that we like praising God, but also to tie in with what we're doing. So, what is this? I am no Hebrew expert. I actually had my son's father-in-law came over to my house a few weeks ago and picked my Hebrew Bible interlinear, page by page, so that he could show off. I mean, tell me. He picks it up, turns to the back, which is the front in a Hebrew Bible, of course, and starts reading various sections, pronouncing the Hebrew presumably correctly, not that I could tell, and telling me what it meant without appearing to look at the other page. So I was very impressed. I don't do that. So I just take this from source. But we have praise to God. Alleluia, when you see that without the H, is not a different word or some subtlety of meaning. It's just the Greek version of hallelujah. Okay? So it's a Greek-influenced spelling. Now if I can remember to click while I turn my page, we can do this. Last week we talked about songs of worship, and we dove especially deep into one particular song. Who remembers what that was?
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Really wonderful song. So I thought, start off, what's the difference between a hallelujah song and a worship song? What's the difference between praise and worship? So worship, I looked it up, is the act or the feeling of adoration, homage, deference, respect, honor, ellipsis. Now that means more and more. There were plenty of words there. But it's a very all-encompassing thing. Praise, in particular, is expression of approval, commendation, adoration, thanksgiving, specifically for blessings received. Okay? So, how do we define that differential? The way I see it, Praise is an aspect of worship. Okay? So last week, talking about worship is a very big overall picture. And when we sing a song of worship, we're doing one piece of what worship is. Worship is how you live your whole life. Worship is what you do on Tuesday morning. Worship is what you do on Friday evening. Worship is what you do at work. If your mind is focused on God, it's the act and the feeling. Okay? And I never, you know, some related to the music ministry know that I think of myself as participating in the music ministry. I don't particularly think of myself as a worship leader, which is a term used, because there's so much more to worship. But the songs are an important part of worship when we do congregational worship. So that's a great thing. Praise, though, that's the focus today. So our singing today, you'll notice, will be very happy songs. We're praising God. That's what we're doing. And we're going to dive into a few of these. But praise is giving God approval. Does God require my approval? I don't think so. Does God desire my approval? Absolutely. He asks us to praise Him. Okay? So, I started a list and I ran out of paper. There are a lot of songs of praise, hallelujah songs, that are in our book, that we sing that aren't in the book. There are a lot of psalms. Psalms is God's songbook, if you will. So we have 150 psalms that are, in essence, songs to God. A very large number of those are hallelujah, praise God, as the core idea. And in particular, the last few are called the hallelujah psalms. This kind of standard terminology. So 146 to 150, read through those. But the songs we sing, I listed ones that I think we sing fairly regularly, and you could probably think of dozens more, that in essence just say, praise to God. Okay? Let's give God praise. So I could have taken any one of these or any few of these songs and dive in deeply and try to get the meaning. What I did, however, was pick out a few that are ones we sing most frequently. So with a little bit of apology, because a couple of them we'll sing today are ones we've sung pretty recently too. But we will dive in and understand the words we sing. Before we go there, why do we like to praise God so much? So I have a few scriptures here. Again, this is a class that I could easily go for many, many hours and cover an awful lot of material. Because the Bible is filled with praise to God. Okay? So I just pulled out some ideas. Psalm 148:4. Of course, Psalm 148 we sing regularly. We will sing today. But let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Why do we praise God? Because He is the Creator. If nothing else, that's enough, isn't it? He created us. He created everything. If we start there, what more is there to say, really? I can skip the other six scriptures or whatever I have. Creation itself praises God, Luke 19:40 there. Right? That's a familiar passage. What's the context? As Jesus is entering Jerusalem, and the people are cheering, the people are shouting praise. And if the people were made to be silent, the very stones would cry out. Okay? God's creation praises God. That's what it does. Are you part of God's creation? Then let's praise God. We praise God because everyone eventually will. You know what? I've read the end of the book. God wins. Turn to Revelation. Read it. It's amazing. The good guy wins. Everybody will praise God. Okay? I keep remembering so far. Tell me if I forget to turn that. Why do we love to praise God? Singing praise shows our hearts. Some of you in this room this morning are probably thinking, you know, I've got a heavy heart right now. I'm worried about something. I'm struggling with something. I'm carrying anger for something. You know, lately my worry is about, you know, my job is not treating me really well, okay? So I can carry that and be downhearted or a little down. Whatever your struggle is, this is the time to shed that and praise God. But it takes a cheerful heart to do that. Let him sing praise. So how do you get a cheerful heart? Well, you have to work on faith. Pray for that faith. But try to get your heart in a place where you can genuinely praise God as we as a congregation do that. I'm sidebar here. This one's for free. Please never sing what you don't believe. Amen. Please don't. I would rather stand up here, wave my arms, and hear nobody singing than have people singing stuff they don't believe. If you are not ready to praise God, maybe you need to be praying instead of singing and helping, praying for God to lift that burden from your heart so that you can praise God. Okay? But please don't fake it. When we sing songs of sacrifice, which we'll be talking about in a couple of weeks, don't sing what you don't believe. Please don't. There are a couple of songs in our songbook that I don't sing verses of. Steve Collier knows one, at least, because I think he and I agree on that one. So I can't sing it. It is not true for me. And I would far, far rather sing what is true. So please, don't sing praise to God until you mean praise to God. That's just a free sidebar. That's true for anything you sing, whatever it might be. Okay? Biblical examples we have in abundance throughout the Bible. I picked a couple of David. One is in 2 Samuel. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing praises to your name. Almost sounds like a psalm, doesn't it? Well, yeah, David wrote a lot of those psalms too. So, and speaking of that, Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. Again, the idea of that wholehearted devotion, and we'll hit that in some of the songs when we analyze them, which I've got to get to pretty quickly here, but we're going to run out of time. So, why else do we praise God? Because he commands it. That too should be sufficient, right? If God says do it, then I kind of want to do it. Again, I don't want to fake it, but I want to praise God. I want to give him the glory. I want to give him the commendation, the credit for who he is and what he has done. And you'll see that theme as we look at the songs that we're about to dive into. It's we praise God for who he is and we praise God for what he has done. And if you subdivide everything, it kind of works out into those two categories. So, remember, pick up the clicker, Peter. There we go. Okay. So we're going to dive deeper. I've picked a few songs. We'll see how time permits. Hopefully I can hit three separate songs here and dive in a little bit. If I run out of time, we'll do two. And I'll give you fair warning. If I have extra time, I'm going to teach you a song that some of your kids know, but most of you don't. So we'll see if time permits, okay? Why not? If they give me the chance, I can do what I want. Okay, whatever. I may not be teaching in 2 weeks. We'll find out. Okay, so Psalm 148 or song number 433. Anyone know the name of that song? Hallelujah, Hallelujah praise Jehovah. I wonder what that could mean. It's almost a direct quote of the Psalm 148. So I didn't actually write the lyrics to the song here. I just wrote the psalm. Okay? Because that song is so directly lifted directly from the psalm that it's redundant to put them both up. The comparison is obvious. So as you can see, the red letters here, that's not what Jesus said. This is not a red letter Bible. But the red letters here are what I'm focused on. Why would you think this is called a hallelujah psalm? Maybe because it says praise the Lord over and over and over and over again. What's the lesson there? Wholehearted. Abandon. Whoever wrote this song, the original psalm, wasn't holding back. Do you ever feel like you're praying redundantly? God, you are great. God, you're just so amazing. God, I'm done. That's okay if you mean it. Right? I'm not a big fan of repetitious songs, but when you mean it, repeating yourself is not a bad thing. So here, the lesson is wholehearted abandonment of, I'm just giving myself up for God here. Praise God. Every other thing out of my mouth is praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Now, if you're like me, some days you feel like that, right? And some days you don't feel at all like that. Maybe the rest of you do all the time. I don't know. But some days I don't. And I've got to get myself in the position to give God the praise. Okay? That can take various things. How do you get yourself mentally in a place to say, praise God, and mean it? One thing I'd recommend, talk to God about submitting to Him. If you can give up yourself and instead focus on God, then I think you find yourself in a better place to just give Him the praise. Now, also in this psalm and song, there's a very natural split that I like and I see again frequently throughout Scripture. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord from the earth. God created it all. And when we read in Revelation, when we read in any of the prophetic writings about what heaven is like, what do we see? We see hosts of angels singing praise to God. We see the elders praising God. We see over and over again the idea of all of heaven is about praising God. If we don't get good at it here, we're probably going to feel out of place when we get there. Just saying, okay? This could be a challenge. So let's work on praising God, okay? And from the earth, I talked earlier about the stones will praise Him. The beasts, the livestock, the creeping things, and the flying birds. Oh, and us too. Young men and maidens, old men and children. Why? Why does the earth praise God? Why do the heavens praise God? He commanded, they were created. He established. His name alone is exalted. His word is law. We praise His majesty, His splendor, dignity, power. His majesty is above earth and heaven. So right in this psalm, right in this song, God tells us why we praise Him. I count at least 5 separate reasons in red letters right there, right? Because He commanded and we were created. Because He's established the angels, the hosts, the sun, the moon, the stars forever. Because His word is law and will never pass away. Because His name alone is lifted above all others. Because of His majesty. We can probably think of some other reasons, but those are good enough for me to go with. Okay? Let's praise God. Why? He has raised up a horn for His people, I didn't highlight that because I play trumpet. Tempting, but I didn't. The horn in the Bible is a symbol of truth, of goodness. It's a symbol of power. It's a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of overcoming and success. So when you read about a horn in the prophetic literature, that's what it's talking about. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Now this is kind of cool. Right here at the end of the psalm, this one surprised me. I'm thinking about giving praise to God. Hallelujah. The Yah there is to God, right? And that's who, to whom we should give our praise is to God. But look at that. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel. And we're the new people of Israel. The praise we give to God spills over onto us. No, it's not about praising us. You know, let's not go there. But when we give the glory to God, God's glory also is shared with his people. That's a cool thing. That's not why we praise him. But isn't that nice? So when we sing, and we will sing, Psalm 433 today, try to dive deep into these meanings. Think about what these words mean. Again, I have just a lot of passion for the words. I do for the music too, as everyone who tries to sing harmony around me knows. But this is meaningful stuff. I'm saying these words, and if they're not true, please don't say them. Pray about making them true for you instead, maybe. Thought I'd hit a somewhat more modern song that we also sing. Better Than Life. Did you think of that about as a hallelujah song? I don't think the word hallelujah even occurs in it. How could it possibly be a hallelujah song? Because all it is praise to God. You'll notice I tied it back to a psalm again. Psalm 63, verses 2 through 8. Actually, it kind of references bits and pieces of the whole psalm, but that's how much room I had on the page. Did that for a very scientific reason. So, as we sing this song, let's think about, what does it mean? Your loving kindness is better than life. Or in the Bible, Psalm 63, I think this is an English Standard Version translation I cut and pasted from. Because your steadfast love is better than life. Okay? This is a song of praise about a couple of the key qualities of God as they're manifested in God and in Jesus. It's a song of praise. His love is better than life. His grace is all sufficient. See, I did have that. There we go. His grace is all sufficient. It meets all of our needs. Now, remember earlier I mentioned that we could talk about and praise God for his actions and for his qualities. So love is kind of cool because it's both an action and a quality. Right? So this song's hitting on both. I like this idea. So your grace is all sufficient. Your love is better than life. How do we know that? God's love is an act of kindness. It's an act of rescue. It's an act of mercy. It's an act that saves us. But it's also a quality of God. God is love. Amen. God is love. And it's easy to praise a God who is love. So as we dive into that, be thinking about that. Yeah, that's a pretty fun song to sing. And, you know, that's cool. But it's more than just a song to sing. Your loving kindness is better than life itself. Think about that. What does that mean? What does it mean? Is death in God's love better than continuing to live? Paul said so. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain.
Yeah.
Right? Okay? How do I feel? When I sing those words, do I mean those words?
Yeah.
Is it better than life itself?
Right. Wow.
Do you feel God's love that greatly in your life?
Wow.
And if not, can you pray about it and can you get that in your heart? And even on the days when you're not feeling good, and even on the days when you're heavy-hearted over something, you're worried about something, can you set that aside and get God's love connected that's better than life itself? Would it be better to be loved by God and living in the rain in a cardboard box somewhere than to be happy and wealthy? Is God's love better than life itself?
Wow.
I say that, and I usually mean that, but some days I don't. So let's pray about that. Let's get that attitude deep in our hearts. God's power and glory are forever on display. Do we see God's power and glory? Where do we see it? If it's on display, where do we see it?
Everywhere.
The psalmist says, beholding your power and your glory. Where did the psalmist see that power and glory? I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Did he see the power and glory of God at the temple? In the sanctuary? Well, he might have seen hints of that. But unless he was one of the selected priests who once a year was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, then he probably didn't get to see all of God's power and grace and glory. One person a year got to see the Ark, right? Go into the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain, behind the veil. So where has he looked upon God in the sanctuary? Has he been into heaven? We read about that in Revelation, right? There's God on his throne. That's cool, but he probably hasn't been there. He might have visualized it. Might have seen it, dreamed it. But I see God's power and glory all around me every day, too. Forever on display. What does that mean? It's there. Pray to see God's power working in your life. Pray to see God's power and glory in everything you do so that you can sing those words and mean them, that they're true. Okay? Don't let yourself just say those words, please. Okay? And moving right along, I think we can make it. There's a song we sing, oh, probably at least once a month here. Well loved by many. A song straight up of praise of God. Hallelujah. And this one is not pulled from any one particular psalm, but it's pulled from all over the Bible. So we'll see those images. But again, please don't sing it unless you mean it. So, first, let's look at attributes of God. Remember, we're praising his actions and his attributes. His judgment, his grace, his power, his life, justice, love, sovereignty. That means he's in charge, he's ruling, right? Fancy words. Okay? God has these qualities Do you love these qualities in God? Do you praise these qualities in God? You could worship the world. You could worship money. Does money give you grace? Does money give you love? Does money have the quality of justice? And yet a lot of us worship money. It's a human thing, right? We want to get richer. We want more. Think about what you ascribe worth to. What do you consider worthy? What do you consider important? What do you praise? When we sing this, we're praising some very, very amazing qualities of God. And then we praise His actions. What are some actions of God? Well, let's see. The premier one, the one we remember every single week, is that He sent His only Son to this world to teach, ultimately to be executed, to die for my sin so that I can be forgiven. He did a lot of other things too. God's, there are references here. Sing of crosses and His blood. Instant communion every time I sing this song. Right? I sing of cross and blood. Jesus died. Jesus was raised. He shed His blood. Forgiveness of sins is found in the shedding of His blood rather than mine, in place of mine. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Can we praise God for that action? I'd say yes. Earthquakes, darkness, to me, what is that calling out? Sounds like the day of the crucifixion. Could be many other things too. God can certainly create earthquakes and darkness whenever He chooses. The flood, that wasn't the day of the crucifixion. But that was a day of a very similar event, a cleansing, different kind of cleansing. Let's just wipe out the world. We'll start over. Reboot. Let's Control-Alt-Delete on the world. Right? Let's just start it all over again and see how we can do, okay? Noah, it's on you, man. And Noah was a faithful man. But that was God acting. First, to cleanse the world. Second, to rescue Noah and his family. God reigns from above. And in the song, reigning from above. Not He reigned centuries ago. He's reigning from above. And I don't mean the rain that's falling outside. There's one of your puns. You guys can count that. Okay. But reigning, E-I-G-N, that kind of reign, yeah. God's reign is active. He's living today. He's doing these things now. We are made of naught but clay. God created me. That's a pretty big action, isn't it? So He's created me, created the world. He's cleansed the world once. He's offered forgiveness to the world a second time. He's reigning now, and then, till we're changed on that great day, He's coming back. So those are the actions of God that are worthy of praise, aren't they? So we're telling the whole story of the creation to the end times as we sing those words. That's the joy of poetry. Song lyrics are poetry. They usually are very good at compressing a lot of ideas into very few words. We need to dig deep and get those words so that we're singing truth when we sing. That is what should excite us. This is not just words to trip over and they sound kind of biblical, so let's keep singing. Okay? No, this is about the whole story of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay? So when we sing that song, which again we'll sing today, funny how I managed to work in all these songs into the... It's almost like a coincidence, isn't it? Okay. But as we sing praise to God in the next hour, think about the praise we're giving God.
Amen.
Don't let these be empty words. Don't let these be happy songs just because they're happy songs. They are well written. We do have an amazing amount of talent on the stage singing and playing instruments, and that's great. But we could praise God without any of that. The words are still true. Never, ever forget how true those words are. Okay. I'm working on this because I really wanted to teach this because some of your kids know this song. All the kids who are in the elementary school age group bracket last time I was teaching. Okay. So some of your kids know this. Maybe some of your kids have taught you these songs. I don't know. But Alan had cited in particular a couple of weeks back Exodus 15:1, where Moses sang a song, talking in general about singing to God, right? So after the Israelites were led across the Red Sea, away from the Egyptians and rescued, they sang this song. Now, what I did was I called up Moses and Miriam and said, hey, can you teach me that one? They didn't answer the phone, I don't know. I'm still waiting on the call back. But it has been set to music, and I have about 2 minutes, I think, by any reasonable measure. So let's see. Nancy, you're in here somewhere. I know you are. Okay. So she knows it. A couple of other people may know it. But the song, right out of Exodus 15, 1 and 2, we just took those words and set them to music, and it's a great way to teach your kids to memorize Scripture. So some of you have children who can quote Exodus 15, 1 and 2. Goes something like this. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Can we sing that? I know you can. You ready? So let's do it again. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Oh, we can do that real well, yeah. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Okay. Isn't that a cool idea? The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. Actually, the sea was kind of thrown over the horse and the rider, if you think about it. That's even cooler, you know. So, yeah. This is an amazing, amazing concept. There's more to that song, but I'm not going to teach it this morning because we got to go get our kids. But ask your kids, if you have elementary school kids who've been in the Kingdom Kids for a little while, they may know that song. But there are songs throughout the Bible. There is praise to God throughout the Bible. But please, please, please never give empty praise to God. Don't just sing the words. I used to back in my childhood, I did not believe in God at all, really. I grew up agnostic, atheist, however you want to define that. But I did go to church fairly frequently whenever they paid me to play trumpet at a church. Something about money there, I don't know. Okay? And invariably, after I played trumpet in some particular Easter service or Christmas service or whatever at a church, I would get a lot of, and the way I thought of it, and forgiveness, please, from all of the women over a certain age, but I would have the little old women of the church would come up to me afterwards and say, you sounded so marvelous. And I was thinking, I messed up this, and I was out of tune on that, and I didn't play this right. You sounded so good. Their praise was really saying, thank you for being here and playing. But it was not meaningful praise in terms of my performance on the trumpet. Frequently, it wasn't that good. Okay, that was just reality. One time, however, my mother was at that service. And she came up afterwards and said, you sounded good, but in the second chorus, you had this going on. She was a concert pianist, by the way. And your phrasing was a little bad on this, and this didn't work here. And you know what? Her praise, riddled with that input, meant a lot more to me than someone saying, oh, you sounded good. Because I knew she meant what she said. Okay? How does God feel if you say, praise God, praise God, praise God? What does that mean? There's a passage in the Gospels about that, right? Saying the words doesn't make it true. So make it true for yourselves. As we sing these songs, please, I'd rather see some of you standing there focused on praying about lifting your hearts up to be ready to praise God than see everybody mouthing words that you don't really mean. Now, ultimately, I'd like to see everybody praising God and get our hearts in that place, right? But don't fake it. Never sing what isn't true. Certainly never pray what isn't true to God. He knows the truth. We're not fooling him. So, that's the class. Let's go ahead and close out with a quick prayer, and then we'll send you on your way to rescue the children and come back. Dear God and Father, thank you so much for giving us voices that we can praise you with, for giving us minds that can focus on praising you, for giving us talents that we can use to your glory. Father, for just giving us life so that we can live for you every day. But Father, help us always to give you the glory, give you the praise, to turn every song we sing into a true prayer, praise, exaltation, cry for help, but a true one, whatever it is. Father, to turn every prayer into truth. Father, to make our lives truth. The actions of our hearts, the actions of our hands, everything we do to your glory, not just to fulfill, not just to check boxes, but because we mean it. Father, help us all to get our hearts in that place and to stay in that place so that we can truly say we're living for you. Father, thank you for your love and your forgiveness. Thank you for helping us get wherever we need to be. And Father, just please help our worship service coming up to be focused on you and giving praise to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, go rescue your children and hurry on back. We'll start up.